Welcome to Legends from the Fireside. Standing upon the shoulders of giants in this genre, Legends from the Fireside is a hybrid storytelling RPG podcast set within worlds of sword and sorcery. In our tales, the dice tell the fates of those worlds, for good or for ill. No character is sacred. Survival is not guaranteed. As storyteller and game master, I craft the narrative from these dice rolls and create quests from this chaos, all without knowing what could happen. Listener discretion is advised, as we may explore dark corners of this genre. But come now, for adventure awaits. Listen in to the Legends from the Fireside. In the previous episode of Legends from the Fireside, the party have a violent run-in with a pair of dwarves from the Emberblade Syndicate. The party are able to stay on the good side of the villagers of Solon Hill as Tariad calms the chaos before they react to the party killing these dwarves. The party try to discover more information about the haunted halls of Shaladir, though unfortunately, the party find very little. The only potential leads they are given are the village elder, Luratia, and the Knights of Castle Roseholm. Attempting to learn from Luratia, the party are sent away aggressively. Taking a chance on the road leading to Castle Roseholm, the party encounter a group of goblins and are both caught off guard. Lastly, as a side note, we discover the properties of the hidden treasures locked away within the haunted halls of Shaladir, namely, the Eye of Haradam, an intelligent sword with great power. Unfortunately, it is time now to see how our party fare with these pesky goblins of the road. Chapter 21, Part 1, Day 60, Morning. Party status: Tariad, 11 of 11 hit points. Belgen, 8 of 8 hit points. Kellum, 8 of 8 hit points. Thedor, 10 of 10 hit points. Sanjean, 4 of 4 hit points. Kennard, 2 of 2 hit points. Spells prepared. Tariad has prepared Light. And Cure Light Wounds. Belgen has prepared Phantasmal Force. And Chromatic Orb. Combat begins. As we stated in the last episode, the party have encountered three goblins on the road. Both sides were surprised, and there is 30 feet between them. The party are all mounted currently on both riding dogs and riding horses. Since none of these mounts are trained for battle, the party will need to dismount before shooting or engaging in any melee. Let's roll initiative. The party got 4. The goblins got 2. After Sanjean shouts that there are goblins afoot, the party immediately leap off of their mounts and prepare their weapons. Kennard, Thedor, and Belgen retrieve their bow and slings, and Kellum, Sanjean, and Tariad grab their spear and maces. The goblins, having been interrupted from their rest, pick up their daggers and clubs and shout a battle cry at these adventurers who dared to interrupt their sleep. Round 2. Initiative. The party got 2. The goblins, a 1. The party waste no time and charge forth down the trail to the goblins' makeshift dwelling. Luckily for the party, the goblins are terribly equipped, and with Kellum's great strength and Marius's enchanted spear, he swiftly slays the first of the goblins to show their face. not to be outdone, both Teriad and Sanjean are able to connect with these goblins, bludgeoning them with overwhelming force. As the three men stand back from the goblins, the rest of the party slowly approach and look down into the ditch where they lay motionless. Thedor blows out a sigh of relief before saying,
"If there's three here, there's sure to be more elsewhere. Keep your eyes to the brush and the trees. Who knows what the goblins would have done had they gotten the drop on us."
Everyone looked to Thedor as he said this, and all nodded in agreement as they had envisioned the cruel things that conniving goblins might do given the chance. As the men mounted their horses and hounds again, they continued down the road, wary of their surroundings, heading towards Castle Roseholm again. As the party slowly approached the outer limits of Castle Roseholm, I think it's time we carve out some more details and descriptions of the settlement. As per usual, I'll be referencing the Sandbox Generator by Alterior Clandestine and the Wilderness Hexplore by Jed McClure when making the settlement. To begin, Castle Roseholm is an aged and well-fortified castle. In the center, there is a square-shaped keep where the castellan and other important figures reside. The castle has a pentagonal outer wall featuring square towers on the corners of the wall, totaling 5 altogether. The outer wall of the castle has a gatehouse with a drawbridge to cross a deep moat. The castle has a pair of catapults at each of the towers adjacent to the gatehouse. As decoration, there are many gargoyles adorning the outer walls, each featuring grotesque and sometimes comical expressions. Within the castle, there are a few important services and businesses, such as a blacksmith, baker, butcher, and a large tavern, acting as a meeting house for the people of Roseholm. This tavern is named the Rose's Thorn, and it is owned by a simple man named Temmund. There are a few cottages and homesteads outside of the walls of the castle, though all are under the protection of the Knights of Roseholm, and the population of this settlement is nearly 120 people in total. Lastly, when the party arrive, there is some sort of an important ceremony taking place. I think that because the dwarves are such a difficult element of the castle, it would make sense that they'd force onto the current inhabitants some sort of festival or celebration, as something of a demonstration of dominance. I think the dwarves will be forcing the castle inhabitants to celebrate the holiday of the crowning of Cagladin, the dwarven god of battle and glory. Day 60. Midday. The sound of casks of ale sloshing and rolling out of the Rose's Thorn Tavern grated on the nerves of the barkeeper, Temmund. As the dwarves hoisting the ale from the basement continued to speak in their own native tongue, Temmund picked up on the occasional word in the common tongue insulting either him or his establishment. He wasn't much for fighting, and he knew in the current state of Castle Roseholm he wouldn't survive a fight with the Emberblade Syndicate. Sadly, he knew no one would help him in any sort of a fight with these dwarves. So, he stood there, powerless, grinding his teeth in silent rage, watching his family's business be marched out the doors. As he went to tend to the stew that he would be serving for dinner that night, a pair of guards walked into the tavern and gave him a nod, approaching the bar and laying down a coin for a couple of tankards of ale. Temmund gave a forced grin to the men and began to fill the tankards behind the bar. As he turned around to hand the men their drinks, he saw that a pair of dwarves were standing over the stew. One of them was dipping their fingers into the stew, pulling it out and suckling upon his finger to taste it. Without even considering it, Temin shouted out abruptly,
"Hey!"
at the two, and quickly shrunk down and considered what he had done. The two dwarves looked at each other, and then marched over to the bar. As Temin struggled to calm the dwarves, he said,
"The stew isn't ready yet. It'll be ready in time for the celebration."
The two began to grin and reached forward to the tankards of ale. As they grabbed them and turned to leave, they made it a point to dip their fingers into the stew once again before heading out the door. When Temin went to go fill a pair of new tankards for the guards, one of the men held his hand up to gesture that they didn't need these drinks anymore, and they slid the coin forward anyway. As they walked out, a young woman came hurrying in, apologizing profusely for being late to help out in the kitchen.
"I'm sorry, Temin, I got stopped by a dwarf on the way over here. I guess they've been watching the gates and charging tolls to enter."
Temin sighed and dismissed her apologies.
"It's okay, Alina. I got the stew started and we still have some bread from yesterday that we can serve."
She gave a slight smile and went behind the bar to help clean.
"I'm hoping that tonight the dwarves will all be drunk enough that they leave us alone. Maybe we can finally enjoy a night of peace around here."
"Well, here's to hoping,"
Temin said, joking, holding up a dirty tankard and a mock toast. Alina joined his tankard with a dirty plate, and the clink of the metal made them both laugh. As Temin went back to cleaning, he considered their plight. His whole life was tied up in this tavern. He couldn't leave, not even if he wanted to, and he certainly did. The dwarves had been running his business into the ground, and none of them had a shred of guilt for what they'd been doing. He thought then of Alina and her own family. She had a brother who owned the Blue Rock Inn out to the east in the town of Leader. Surely her husband could leave his current farming work, and she could leave the tavern behind so that they could run away and leave this nightmare behind them. As he considered this idea further, he thought of the risk in that move. He knew that the rumors of the undead were true enough, as well as the goblins and orcs and all of the dwarves causing chaos on the roads. In a sense, he felt worse for Alina and her family than he did for himself. His own fate was sealed, but in her case, they would have to live with the guilt of choosing to act or not to act. To choose to stay here while everything gets worse, or to leave and face doom on the road. Especially when considering they have children to fend for, Temin never regrets paying her to do the work she does for him. As a group of dwarves outside cheered and drank heartily on his pilfered ale, he groaned for a moment, but considered what Alina said. Perhaps the drunken dwarves would slip up, and there'd be something of a push tonight against these invaders. Perhaps. Chapter 21, Part 2, Day 60, Early Evening. Party Status. The party status has not changed. As the party venture down the road, the sun slowly beginning its descent behind them, they see the gatehouse and lowered drawbridge of the castle's outer wall. Recognizing the dwarven occupation of the castle may impact how they welcome travelers, the party decide that they will try and say whatever it takes to enter the place and keep their true intentions of finding the ruins to themselves. Kellum rode in the front with Teriad by his side. The two approached the guards of the drawbridge. As they reached the end of the drawbridge, both of the guards put their hands onto their sword pommels and one shouts to the duo.
"Halt! You stand at the gate of Castle Rosehome. State your business and be quick about it."
Before either of the men could respond to the guard, they noticed the sound of horns and cheering beyond the gate. This certainly struck the two as out of place for a castle under foreign occupation, but they pushed this aside for the moment. Kellum shouted back with a confident and neutral tone.
We simply wish to speak with someone in charge. Perhaps someone to get shelter here for the evening.
I'll now roll for a reaction. Though, I don't think they'll be able to force entry into this place based on a good reaction alone. I got a 5. The guard replies with a dismissive and insulting tone.
The castle inn does not meet with vagabonds or rogues. Get out of here before you regret dropping by in the first place.
Kellum presses and says,
Forgive me, but this is a matter of safety for all people of the Northern Beveren Wood.
The guard looks to the other guard, who has yet to speak, and turns back to Kellum to laugh aloud derisively. Hoping to sidestep this conversation and get a second attempt to get on the good side of the guards, Terriad asks,
What is the cause for the celebration? Is this some sort of holiday or festival?
The other guard states plainly,
It's a dwarvish holiday for Cagladin, and you'd do well to respect that.
Kellum knows their time is short with these guards, so he quickly asks,
Would the castle and allow us, then, to stay outside of the castle walls?
The first guard replies sternly,
That'd be a trespass, and you may instead end up spending your night in the dungeon.
Kellum and Terriad nod briefly, turning away to return to their party. As the travelers read the defeated expressions on the faces of Kellum and Terriad, they knew they would need to make a difficult decision. As Belgin dismounted his hound, nervously brushing the smooth coat of his mastiff, he asked,
They aren't going to let us in?
Terriad lowered his head for a moment and then replied,
I'm afraid not, Belgin. It looks like we will all need to decide where we go from here.
All eyes then slowly fell upon their leader. Though Kellum stared only at the castle, he stared at the castle as if he was a hunter and the castle was his prey. With a cold and stern tone, he told the men,
We will speak with the castellan. Perhaps not today, but we will meet with him. There is certainly a lot wrong here in the Beveren Wood, and I'll be damned if we don't do our part to help these people.
Kennard took the initiative then to ask,
There's no question that there is evil in this land, but we need to take this day by day. Where will we be laying our heads this evening?
Kellum turned back to his companions and said,
The woods will likely be lousy with the undead, and more of those goblins in the night. We will stay within the reach of the castle, but we need to avoid the guards. I am sure that they won't be forgiving of us trespassing.
As the party head out to the outskirts of the castle's reach, we ought to consider the chances of the party being spotted by the guards. I think that most of the wandering monsters would be held at bay because of how close they are to the castle. But I think that the lack of guards and the ongoing celebration would lead to at least a 2 in 6 chance of being spotted. I'll roll now. I got a 4 on the die, so it would seem that the knights on patrol are unaware of their presence. As the sun rose gently, shimmering through dewdrops on the leaves of the trees, the men broke the campsite down. The creaking of wagon wheels and the marching of beasts of burden on the muddy road leading to the castle had alerted the companions that the community was awakening for another busy day. The men conducted their usual morning routines, memorizing and praying for spells, sharpening weapons and restringing bows, greasing leather, and plenty of stretching. The men attempted to be brief with this routine, knowing they'd be far more noticeable in the morning light. They knew their next plan would be a daring one, having earned the ire of the guards of the gate last night, they might end up in deep trouble if those same guards were working this morning. As Kellum and Terriette again approached the gate, they noticed something rather peculiar about the guards of the gate. First and foremost, there were only two guards, with seemingly no one watching the towers of the gatehouse. Second, both men appeared to be struggling to keep themselves upright. As one of the men began to lose his balance, standing in place, the other tried to catch him and dropped his spear with a clatter, his helmet nearly falling off of his head as he leaned over to scoop the weapon up. Kellum finally saw a weak spot in his prey, and he knew then that he would need to be strategic about his next move. Hurried footsteps echoed down the dungeonous passage as the explorer ran, panting, into the inky darkness. He continued dashing down the hall, knowing that he needed to keep his eyes open and to stay very well alert. The explorer had lost all of the others he traveled here with initially, each one falling to a devious fate. How could he leave himself in such a predicament? No holy water, triggering traps, traveling here with only a team of 6 people. He delved into more caverns and ruins than he could have counted, and yet, here he was running frantically in the darkness. He stopped briefly at the bottom of the stairs and looked back. His eyes hadn't yet fully adapted to the bright light of the torch that he was carrying, so he squinted and took a few gasping breaths. In an instant, the explorer was transported back to his meetings with the patron of this trip. He considered how uncomfortable it all felt. He'd worked with unsavory types before. But as always, he would do the job as he was asked to do and take the payment. The task was simple enough. Seek out the halls of Shaladir, crack the key to enter the place, and seek out the treasure, which was rumored to be within the halls. What really worried him in this quest was the patron. His patron never offered his true name. Instead, he used what was clearly a pseudonym. Again, this was a standard with this sort of work, but the man had an aura about him that was truly sinister. Maybe he blinked too infrequently, or he stared for too long. Perhaps he smiled a bit too widely. Something was certainly off with this man, but that didn't matter now. All he wanted now was to get out of here alive. To hell with the contract, and to hell with the agreement. He would leave these haunted halls of Shaladir. Suddenly, he was pulled right back to reality. The light of the torch flickered as usual, but the darkness seemed to slowly feed upon the illumination at the edge of his torch's light. Something within him urged him to run, and he did not deny this instinct. For a moment, he could swear he saw something darker than the darkness as he turned to run. He ran as fast as he could up these stairs, occasionally tripping over the shallow steps and rubble, but pushing himself ever onward. The explorer was afraid that what he had seen in the darkness was the same thing that he had seen erupt from the gemstone in the treasure hoard. One of the fools he had taken along on this expedition had grabbed the gemstone even after instructed to not touch anything without further inspection. Instead, this man had picked the gem up and in a trance-like state shattered it upon the ground. An inky black cloud had erupted from the gem, and a shriek from the very bowels of the abyss pierced the ears of the explorer and this fool. The explorer did not know much of the monstrosities beyond this waking realm, but he knew he was now alone in these ruins, with something fiendish that certainly would not let him leave alive. Finally, the explorer reached the top of the stairs, and he ran past a couple of doors, finally entering a larger chamber that he didn't remember having passed through before. As he cursed himself for running blindly into this room, he grasped at the only door at the end of the room and pulled at the handle. He could feel his heart sink and his blood ran cold. The door wouldn't budge. He looked back for a moment over his shoulder to see what was behind him, though he saw nothing. What did catch his eye, however, was his reflection in a large mirror, running floor to ceiling along the wall beside him. He walked a couple of steps towards the mirror, compelled for some strange reason, and he stopped, considering how strange this whole feeling was. He hadn't survived this many delves based on luck alone. He knew a trap of some kind was at play here, so he quickly averted his gaze and ran back to the stuck door. As he began to rattle at the door and jerk with all of his might, he felt the door begin to shift ever so slightly. Emboldened by this shift, he continued to pull, but to no avail. He stopped to look back at the darkness again, but he saw nothing. However, his eyes did lock onto what he saw in the mirror. More specifically, his eyes locked onto what he couldn't see. His reflection was gone, and he quickly put his back to the door, looking around in panic. From the edge of the darkness, he could see a pair of leather boots appear, followed by leather pants and a suit of studded leather armor as the being entered the torchlight slowly. Lastly, he saw the man's face, and to his horror, it was his own. The alien feeling of staring at one's own doppelganger, experiencing this disjunction of an identical form, nearly drove him insane. As his mirrored form pulled out the short sword from his hip, a cruel smile formed on his face. With slow and measured footsteps, the mirrored form approached to strike. As the explorer began to shake his head in disbelief, he closed his eyes and awaited his fate. Instead, he heard the sickening sound of a pummeling that cracked bones. The explorer's eyes nearly popped open in an instant. His mind may as well have split open as his eyes bore witness to this unspeakable horror before him. Leathery black skin, black as Stygian pools, was pulled tight over the emaciated form of a winged horror. Glowing yellow eyes within the skeletal face pierced through his very soul. As he cowered and began to utter prayers to any entity willing to intervene, this fiend approached with its jaw agape and dripping, frothing drool all over the floor. With one swift stroke of a blade-like talon, the explorer was doomed. He clutched at his throat and gasped as the beast looked onward at the struggling man. This demon had been hungry for so very long. And without missing a moment, the explorer became the first of many meals to consume within this material realm. Soon, the fiend would have its hunger satiated. But until then, it would need to wait for more of these people to enter its new domain. It knew so little of the halls it now called its home, but the elves who had imprisoned it initially were clearly gone and dead, and the only regret this demon felt was that it couldn't have enjoyed bringing them to their ruin. As always, thank you for listening to Legends from the Fireside. If you liked what you heard, consider leaving a rating and a review. I love reading these reviews, and I'll share them on the show as I receive them. Feel free to reach out at Legends from the Fireside on X, or email me at legendsfromthefireside@gmail.com. I want to give a big shout out to two of my friends who lent their voices to the show again. First, Anthony, joining us as Thedor, the ever-brave halfling, as well as one of the guards of Castle Roseholm. And, joining me again, Steph, taking on the role of Alina of the Rose's Thorn Tavern in Castle Roseholm. If you have any desire for a cross promo or to lend your voice to the show, shoot me an email or a DM, as I am always on the lookout for any form of collaboration. Come back soon to listen to more Legends from the Fireside.